They held his hands up. And I believe that God has brought Brother Don along for a period of time here to just help hold our hands up out at Calvary Commission and here at the church. And so would you welcome Don Yonker this morning.
Pastor Joe, praise the Lord. Pastor Joe asked me a few weeks ago if I would preach cleanup. Not quite sure what he meant by that, but I thought, well, you know, he's been preaching on joy, and we're at the end of the month. But anyhow, the message I feel like I want to share today is on the joy of growing. Pastor Joe shared on joy the last couple of weeks. And one thing I don't think I'd ever told him, the first time I ever preached a message, at least I think it was called preaching, I preached on joy. And it lasted about 3 minutes. So how many of you know there was some joy in the house that day, huh? I'd like to turn your attention in the Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6 today. Philippians chapter 1. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all make request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's one of my most favorite verses, to know that the Lord has begun a good work in me. He will perform it till he comes back again. Aren't you glad for that today? Well, when we talk about the joy of growing, there is first of all a joy of growing in faith. It's such a wonderful thing to be able to have a fresh start. Amen? To be able to know that your sins are forgiven when you ask Christ into your life, to have the gift of eternal life. John 16, 23 and 24 says that before you haven't done this, but now you can ask anything in Jesus' name. Ask the Father in Jesus' name, and he will give it to you. Why? So that your joy will be full. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know, when you're in a new community or maybe going to a new church, or going to a new school, that can be challenging sometimes. And sometimes people just don't get you right away. It takes them a while. I've been some places for a long time, and they still didn't get me, or at least didn't get my humor. I'll give you an example, and this is just honest. I read Philippians 1 and verse 1, and it just made me laugh. It says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, it says servants in King James, I think it says bond servants in another version it says slaves, but to the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And that just got me tickled when I read that, because you know, you would think the deacons and the bishops would be saved also, but they had to make a special note for them. That would be like saying hi to all of you Christians at Church of the Living Hope, and also hi to the Fosses and the Herndons and some of the others by name here. Well, we know they're Christians, right? And it means together with. They just wanted to give special emphasis to them. But it's interesting, though, that Paul used the name here to describe himself. The title he gives in one of the versions, and it's very accurate, he calls himself a slave of Christ. A slave of Christ. And just to hear that term, you don't think, well, that doesn't sound like a term that would use much faith or bring anybody much joy. But if you look at some of the other calling cards Paul had, all you have to do is go to the first chapter and first verse of all of the New Testament epistles that he wrote. And we see that he gave himself other titles. Many times he called himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, or a chosen apostle of Jesus Christ. Another time he called himself a prisoner. And in one or two letters, he just used the simple name Paul. He was comfortable enough to just use that term. Well, in the church of Philippi, the apostle Paul, he had a good start on building a church, and yet it seems like he didn't fit very well into the business community. We find very shortly he met some people that were praying by the river, Lydia and some of the others, and before long they were baptized. They had given their hearts to the Lord and some of the believers that were there, but then this slave girl came along. She had a demon spirit that gave her an ability to do some fortune telling, and Paul delivered her of that demon spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result, the business community got upset. This was going to cost them a lot of money. They made a fortune off of this girl, and so they ended up treating Paul like a slave and dragged him. That's what the scripture says. They dragged him off to prison. Well, you know the miracle that happened in the Philippian jail cell while he was there. That didn't stop Paul from preaching the gospel, did it? He and his companion, they were praising the Lord in the middle of the prison. And there's this earthquake. And then before long, rather than them running out of the open doors of the prison, they end up leading the jailer and his household to the Lord. And so many people got saved, and it's a great start of a church, and yet it was a hard start. It started with prison in his life. And so I think that may be one of the reasons, perhaps, that he started with that term, slave of Christ. It reminded folks that he cared enough about a slave girl to be dragged to prison, or that his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is deeper than any despicable treatment that his enemies might bring his way. He was strong in the Lord, amen? Strong in the gospel, and that's how we want to be. You know, we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but it's not just a decision that you make with your mouth, that you make one day in church, but it is the beginning step of an ongoing growth. I like the way that many of the verses that pertain to salvation are in Scripture, including Scriptures regarding prayer. They're written in the present continuous in the Greek, and it when it comes to the prayer that we're used to, where knock and it door shall be opened unto you, and it literally reads, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. And in that sense, that's how it is with our salvation. We are saved, we are being saved, and we're going to be saved, amen? We're going to see Jesus face to face, and that's the climax of that salvation, when we unashamedly can come before him and have welcome arms into his presence. And he's not going to count up our sins. No, because he washed them away. He forgave us. Amen? And we can come boldly, the Bible says, even now into his presence. Why? Because we are saved. And what a big, great place to start in the kingdom of God, to have all of your sins washed away. Hallelujah. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul wrote about his treatment there. He says, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Philippians 1:14 says that his present imprisonment actually emboldened others to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's great joy in that, amen? You may be persecuted, but blessed are you if you're persecuted. There's joy to know that when you preach the gospel, others, if you're going through a difficult time, they'll be encouraged by that, they'll be challenged by that, they'll be emboldened, and they also can grow in the faith. And there's great joy with that. Secondly, today, there's joy in growing in the fellowship of a caring family. How many of you can say amen to that today? People to pray with you. People to support you. People that'll cheer you on in the faith. Philippians mentions three times the word fellowship in a different way. First time he talks about the fellowship in the gospel, which fellowship here means joint participation. Particularly, fellowship in the gospel meant being supportive of the ministry more specifically, through giving. Philippians was giving to the ministry. Another way is the fellowship of the Spirit. We get to come and worship together, edify one another through the Spirit of the Lord. And then there's this fellowship of suffering that is mentioned as well. How many of you have figured out that growth isn't always easy? Sometimes, and most of the time, there's some pain involved with growth, isn't there? There's hardship, and it's good to have a family around when you're going through a time of difficulty, a family there to encourage you. I was trying to help out in the kitchen the other day, and I thought I would add some joy to one of the dishes with a habanero pepper. I think that's what it was. It was a little orange thing I thought I saw at the store, and I just chopped it up a little bit, put it away. I believe I washed my hands, but sometime later in my day, I rubbed my eye, and I had the joy of a habanero in my eye. So my wife, she was there to help me out. That's what family does. And so she quickly got on her phone on the internet to see, what do you do when you get a habanero in your eye? And they gave at least three or four things you could do. One is stand in front of a fan. Another one was to flush your eye out with milk. You just keep bleaking into the milk, and that's supposed to ease the pain. Another one was just cry, 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 of course. I figured that one out without help. And the one that really got my attention was, go hit your left toe and then you won't notice the pain in your eye. Hit it with a hammer. Well, that's sometimes the help we get from the world, isn't it? But I'm glad that we can get some godly wisdom and some godly encouragement from the family of God. People that aren't just going by what they feel or what they've experienced, but by what the truth in the Word of God is, the manual for living a life of faith. And we're so appreciative to have a family of God that cares for us. Joe says said this many times, especially as we get near times of membership or greeting members. He says, if you don't soon feel like you belong to the family, then it won't be long till you'll be saying so long. I don't know if I got that just right, but it's something like that. There is joy. The third thing I want to say is there's joy of growing in friendship with Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 1:6 again. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What that tells me is Jesus is with me at the start, when I accept Him as Savior. Jesus is with me in the middle. Amen? And Jesus is going to be there at the finish line. I remember the first time my daughter ran a race. Now, she loves to, yet today, she loves to run 1K, 5K, half marathon. She may have even done a full marathon. And but the first time that she ran was in a high school track meet. And the school that she was in hadn't really had a track meet before, and they figured out that they could get some funds if they had a track team. So they asked her if she'd go and run track. And so she went to her first track meet, never had practice, never really been coached in it before, and she started out really fast on the line, and it wasn't long at all, and that turned into a kind of a stumbling walk, It looked like she was just going to walk off the course. I actually jumped onto the field, walked out there to her, kind of half held her. She said, she was like, no way, I'm done, I'm going to quit. She was ready to collapse, and she was out of breath. But that was her beginning with it. Now she runs the 5K, and she's like, let's see if you can keep up with me. That's how she'll be with some of the guys that might be running next to her. This is what she said just recently. This is years later. Just because you're young doesn't mean anything. I like that. Old means wisdom and practice. Habit and practice and lifestyle change. That makes you better. That brings change that makes you better. I like hearing that. That sounded pretty good, right? That was some good advice. And we get some good advice in the family of God, don't we? We've got somebody, not just from the family of God, but we've got an advocate, we've got a friend. He's our Savior, Jesus Christ is, but he's also our friend, amen? He's the closest friend that you'll ever have. And he's there at the beginning, he's there in the middle, and he's there when you're just on that last leg of the journey, coming home as well. I got some advice once, or heard some good advice from a marathoner. Somebody ran a marathon. And if you look at the whole race, they said, you'll give up. You just really can't run that race. You've got to split the race into segments. Don't be looking, you know, hey, I'm going to go 3 miles or 4 miles. You've got to go shorter than that. You've got to look and just see something that may be 50 feet ahead, and that's your goal to get to. And you just keep making these small goals and reaching those to be able to get all the way through. I decided to try that. I was using this elliptical machine. It's one of these, it's kind of a stepper running thing. I don't know where your arms move to. And I remember getting on that, and I didn't last very long the first time. And you can start on that thing. And if I start thinking, hey, I want to be on this for so many minutes, like I want to be on this for 2 minutes, I probably won't make 2 minutes. I'll be lucky if I make it over a minute. But if I start looking at it in 30-second increments, I can do 30 seconds. And I'll make it to 30 seconds. And after I got there, I go, wow, that wasn't too bad. I think I could do that again. And I'll look at that timer and go another 30 seconds. And then another 30 seconds. And I've actually gone all the way to 10 minutes on that thing, but 30 seconds at a time. And if it wasn't time to go, I might have could have gone a little bit more. And so sometimes just breaking it down, and I think that's encouraging to somebody, whether they're just starting in the faith today or they've been a Christian for a few years. If you're just starting out and you're thinking about coming to receive Christ as your Lord or to begin a journey with Jesus Christ as your friend, sometimes you look at the whole picture. Maybe it's you see somebody preaching on the platform, or you see other people who've been acting or looking like Christians for a long time, and you wonder, I don't know that I can grasp all of that and do all of that. And you know what? You don't have to. You just start that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you just take it one step at a time. Dave Herndon mentioned to us that we were coming up on a water baptism. That's a first step after you receive Jesus Christ. Amen? And then you just take one step or one season in your life at a time. And you'll find that it's a whole lot easier. That's some good advice that we can find. Jesus, the Bible says, is the author and the finisher of our faith. So don't look at the whole church thing. Just break it into chapters. Break your life into chapters, into segments. Realize there's seasons of growth you go through. You don't suddenly get it all at once. You don't suddenly act like somebody who knows the whole Bible or is very mature in their Christian walk. But you know that you've got a true friend that's always there in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. And he'll pick you up. If you start to stumble, he'll wipe off the dust and he'll give you godly encouragement along the way. The last thing I wanted to share from Philippians, if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 3 in verse 13 and 14. Philippians 3 verse 13 and 14. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." This is really the heart of what spoke to me for this message today. Reaching forward. This last thought I want to share with you is there is joy in growing forward. Not just going forward, but growing forward. Reaching forth to those things which are before, I press. I looked up that word. It means to strain with every nerve in your being. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Sometimes in our walk, we just want to take those things that look like it's going to be easy for us, that it's going to be comfortable for us. But that's not where the real growth comes from, amen? And we're to always be growing in the Lord, growing forward until the day that we see Jesus Christ. But until that day comes for you, we're still to be putting behind us the past and reaching forward, pressing on, using every muscle of our spiritual being to grow forward in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know there's room for growth for you today? There's room for growth to you today. Whether you are, you know, just gave your heart to the Lord last week or you've been serving the Lord for 30 years, He's not done yet with you. Amen? There is more in the Lord, more that you can gain, more that you can learn, more that you can grow in the Lord. Some people set goals that are historical. They do what they've done before. They think what they already know. At most, growth then is just stretching what you already have. We make the mistake of thinking that sometimes, that growing is stretching. Well, stretching is what you already have. Real growth is enlarging your capacity. That's having thoughts that you've never had before, things that you've never tried, pain that you've never had, and victories that you've never tried to win before. Sometimes I get a little bit worried if we talk about anything about the will of God or God doing something more in your life. People get restless, and I'm not trying to get you to get restless. You know, sometimes we say, do something new for the Lord and grow, and people think they've got to quit what they're doing and start something completely, move somewhere else, start a different church. That's not what I'm saying today. We're not trying to say growth so that you get restless. It's so that you'll wrestle, though, so that you'll learn to wrestle, that you will learn to press, that you will learn to grow in the ways that God has for you. Growth is setting aside some besetting weights. That's what it may mean for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Growth in the same passage of Scripture may be learning to run with patience, learning some endurance. There's different seasons in our life where God just increases our ability to trust Him, to endure, to make it through. There's sometimes that God just stretches me so far, and it used to be He would stretch me till my breaking point. Now He goes a little bit past that. Trying to teach me to keep on praising Him, you know, keep on trusting Him no matter what happens, no matter where I'm at in my life. There's room to grow in that, amen? And so many times we're so quick to want a quick change or get out of what God is trying to do or say to us. And we're in a time of hardship, and we want to try to find the easier course. But the real growth happens in that time of hardship. Your ability to praise the Lord in the difficult time, it brings the sweetest praise to the throne of God. Amen? You're going through a troublesome time is the sweetest time or sweetest kind of praise when you offer up in the middle of a crisis or a hardship or a difficulty. You learn to trust Him. He's faithful. Oh, we say that when we first start out. But He is faithful. He's faithful. I figured it out. He's faithful when He answers my prayers. And I found out He's faithful even if He doesn't answer my prayers. He is faithful if He never ever would answer my prayers. He is faithful and He's just and He's true and He always knows what's best for me. And what's best for you, even though I can't figure out that could be the best thing. Learn to trust Him. Oh, there's been so many times I wanted to just lift the finger and say, and I don't even let the thought get there about saying, God, I'm not sure You know what You're doing. I can't even allow that thought to enter because I know it's so false. I know He knows. I know He knows what's best for me, and He knows what's best for you today. Hallelujah. praise you, Jesus. You know, the Bible is the best growth manual there is. And you need to ask, what page are you on your journey? Is it an Abraham walk? Is he moving you into new territory? Are you in a walk like the three Hebrew children, that trial of faith they had where they decided they're going to serve God no matter what happens to them? Is it teaching you to pray, learning to trust, to wait? A time to enlarge your capacity by changing your thinking? A time to where you follow so that you can learn how to lead? Changing your communication skills? What's he doing in your life? Is he developing some kind of character in your life? I remember my wife and I when we stepped out of our pastorate in Houston not long ago, and I felt like this was my walking on water walk, like Peter. Not literally, we didn't try walking across water, but financially we were stepping out with no possible knowing of how we'd be held up financially through resources, and we stepped out and we worked on our house and sold it, and the Lord blessed with that. And around Thanksgiving time, I decided from about Thanksgiving to a few months afterwards to just write down all of the things that the Lord was doing and blessing and allowing me to experience, things that I would have never known before. And there was at least 50 things that I still keep on my phone to this date, and I could probably add 50 more of things I'd have never experienced if I never walked out and taken those steps. It was a new walk, and I'm not saying that's the walk that everybody is to take at this time or their season in your life, but God has a season for you that he wants you to grow. Amen. Praise God. I learned how to get up in the morning before daylight outdoors in freezing weather to pray. I wrote a book in a corner of a garage for 3 hours each morning. Put on a portrail at the prayer chapel in the woods. Got a chance to teach at Calvary International Bible College. You know, but what, stepping out and walking on water means there's still a whole lot of people that are back in a boat that think I'm just crazy. It really does mean it. But I wouldn't trade the opportunity for anything to walk on the water with my friend Jesus. Amen. And we've got people that are further out of the boat than I am. They're, you know, they're in Mexico and Peru. And not too long ago, Aaron, he was going places that Christians don't go, but he went, you know. And it's just amazing, you know. You think that those are things you can't do. They're impossible. They won't happen. But if you learn to trust and you learn to obey and depend on your Heavenly Father, hallelujah, you'll know what it's like to grow in friendship with Jesus and to grow forward like never before. I got this one stone from back in my backyard before we sold it. We had done a little bit of landscaping to make it look nice, but I got one big old rock, and I've got it now by the place where we're staying now, and I called it my Ebenezer stone. You got to look in 1 Samuel 7:12 to see that and what that's all about. Here, Samuel, he put a stone between the path of the enemy they had just left, and it was in a spot between that and the path of the future that they needed to pursue that was in front of them. And then he said these words, which I believe is probably what Ebenezer means. It says, "This far," or "thus far, the Lord has helped us." This far, the Lord has helped us. And I got that rock, and I have it sitting there. And I know the Lord's been with me, and thus far, the Lord has helped us. And I know that I know that I know that he's going to continue to help us. And he's going to continue to help us to grow forward in him. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:13 to 14, Paul puts out this challenge. It's a whole lot like that. Says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Are you reaching forward today? Does your possibilities for God have to reach back historically for identity and motivation and challenge? Or are they in front of you? What's your next step? Don't reach back. Reach forward to pull yourself forward. That makes sense, doesn't it? Reach forward to pull yourself forward. The only time you reach backwards is if you lost your footing, or if you lost your way, or if you lost somebody back there and you need to pull them up. Amen? Or maybe you got caught in a briar bush. Any of you done that before? It doesn't help to keep moving forward when you got a briar bush hooked on you. You got to let loose a little bit. But otherwise, we should be pulling forward. Amen? Reaching forward if we're going to move forward. Reach forward for the prize. There's no other race in the life where the goal and the prize are the same. And that prize is Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight of the prize. Paul, he saw Jesus as both the ultimate prize, not just for him, but for the whole city of Philippi. Look at Philippians 4:1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." They were his joy. They were his crown. He said that elsewhere. I believe it's in Colossians. He says, "You are my joy. You are my crown of rejoicing." Amen. And that's where you find that joy is when you're serving the Lord. It's not just the fact that you're saved, but you have the divine privilege to partner with the greatest friend you could ever have, Jesus Christ, and join with the best people in the world, the family of the redeemed, the family of God, the people that have been born again and trusted in Christ as their Savior. And you're able to not only join with them, but you're able to go and minister with them and find other people that still have yet to hear the good news. They're your joy. They're your crown. Amen? Praise the Lord. How many of you want to grow in the Lord today? Praise God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, and it just wouldn't be right today if we talk about starting with the Lord Jesus Christ and not giving somebody an opportunity to start trusting the Lord for new life in Him. He said, "Old things are passed away, all things are new. Christ died for your sins." And so we want to give you that opportunity in just a moment here. And then there's also, we may want to have others that would respond as well, because it's time for all of us to grow in fellowship with the family. Amen? Grow together in fellowship. That may be making the step of becoming a member of the church. And then to grow closer to Jesus, to grow in friendship with Him. And all of us need to grow forward. Amen? We haven't arrived. We haven't apprehended. We still got some room to grow today. Amen. I'm going to ask for the music this morning. Just give you that opportunity. If our prayer partners and that can come forward here this morning first, and just to receive any that would like to come. First of all, the invitation is for those that would like to just begin a new start today. Begin a new start and accept Jesus as your Savior. Praise the Lord. Begin anew with Him. And so we want to invite you to come. And then after that, if there's others that would like to follow and to have prayer today, we just open the altars for you this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is there any here today to receive Christ as your Savior while the music's playing or going to play? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. It's your chance to take a new step, new start. Receive Christ today. Hallelujah. How many of you all taken that first step? Just lift your hand. Amen. Praise God. Are you glad you did? Are you glad He's your friend today? Got more room to grow? All right. If God's been speaking to you this morning in any particular area of growth in your life, maybe you're going through a difficult season, you have the family of God here to pray with you and believe you. We want you to invite you to come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as others come. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ. That rich love of God that sent his only Son as a Savior to shed his blood at Calvary, that all of the sins of the whole world would be taken away. Not just the whole world, but individually, Lord. You take away my sin. You take away every person here that comes to you, Lord, and receives you as their Savior today. We just invite you into our lives today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, if you'd like to receive Christ, just come and have someone pray a sinner's prayer with you. There is no way that the Lord will refuse you as you come and ask him into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Others today that need prayer. Others today that need to find a place around the altar, just come. Kneel before the Lord this morning. Find a place of prayer. What's God doing in your life? What's your next step? What's he want to do next? What's he want to show you next? What's he been trying to teach you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
An altar wherever you are this morning. Cry out to God. We're going to have the joy of the Lord, the joy of growing. We've got to be in a correct alignment with our Creator God, with our Redeemer Jesus, who gave his life for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Join these this morning by crying out to the Lord for yourself and for them. Yes, God. Lord, we pray that you give us the joy of the Holy Spirit this morning, oh God. Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Precious God. Hermano Marcos está aquí. Si hay alguien para orar con usted en español, él está aquí. Thank you. us, Lord. I want you to develop a greater appreciation for the altar. If we're going to be in His presence, we have to have a place that we meet God and that we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, I'm yours. Take my life and use it for your glory. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The local church is a place where that we can come as we are, but leave different. Yes, my Lord. Blessed be God. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord. Yes, you will, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, our Lord. Precious God. We seek you, Lord. Yes, oh God. My Lord and my God. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. I would like for you to prepare your hearts and begin to make plans for our conference. It's coming up September 3rd. But September 2nd, where you're going to see prophecy fulfilled right here. Many times on Wednesday night, we cried out to God for the deliverance of Hannah Sines Overton, who was wrongfully accused and sent to prison, life without parole. Seemed like there was no possible way. And I stood here, I said, but someday she'll stand here and she'll share. And that Wednesday night, an opening rally for our conference, she's going to be right here at Church of Living Hope. She and her husband, her family, and she's going to talk about how that God kept her through difficult times, and now He has called her into prison ministry. And already, she's got favor from the warden that she had to go back in. Totally exonerated of the charges. Was on Dr. Oz this past week, called wrongfully convicted. And just giving glory to God. The greater testimony, perhaps, is her husband, Larry. And he'll be speaking the first morning of the conference about how that God kept him as he took care of the family for five kids for 7 years, and how he took his motorcycle and rode all the way from Corpus Christi to Gatesville, Texas to see her every week. And the guard said, oh, that'll stop. Then you'll get your divorce papers. It didn't. Statement about marriage. And so it's going to be a tremendous time. That following Sunday of the conference, will Dr. Eduardo Gonzalez will be speaking here at the church from Cuba, and will be bringing that victory story of what's happening there, how that God helped them through all the tribulations, and now is saying, we want to take care of our people during this phase. And I'll be taking a team to Cuba in November again, and so we're going to believe the Lord for that. So great things are happening. Read the the little message there in your bulletin that says, thanks be unto God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Don, for that message today. Stretch your hands this way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye, Israel, Jehová, nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón, de toda tu alma, y con todas las fuerzas. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga ti misericordia. Jehová alza sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. I challenge you today to go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Purpose in your heart to win some soul to the Lord. There's an old song that says, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and win that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul to thee. That we could say there's someone out there today that needs Jesus. Did you hear what Dorsey said? There's people going to hell. You ever heard that word lately? You probably heard it a lot. People talking, but in a right way. And if they're talking that way, they're going there, and you need to go out there and reach them. God bless you. Enjoy the fellowship. Get some coffee.